Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. I had this moment where I'm driving in today. I had some meetings, and I'm somewhere around, I think, Mummy Mountain thereabouts. And it just hits me. I look down, and I was like, I'm wearing green. I can't do this. Behind me is a green screen. And so Jordan, who's in for Eric today, I call him, and I'm just a dope sometimes with this stuff. You know, it's 120, so I dress casual and I'm wearing green. And then Jared comes in here. And this is why Jared is chairman of the board. I'm thinking I got to go sit over on the couch and do a show today. He's like, no, you fool. He didn't call me a fool. Jared never calls me a fool, even though he thinks it sometimes probably. But so here I am in green doing my thing, and it's just beautiful. It's a great looking shot. No, I should wear this more often, right? I hope you had a great weekend. A lot happened. Father's Day was awesome and it was amazing. I rode a ton. I think I did close to 40 miles over the weekend. And for some of you, that's like, that's nothing. For some of you, it's like, there's no way I could ever do 40 miles. Feeling lean and mean, man, getting after it. So even a day, yeah, it's supposed to be 120. So what? So tonight you just go as the sun sets and it's 95 and you just get rid of all the gunk that's in you that you've been eating. That's bad. So feel much better about that. I watched the Open yesterday. I was one of the few that watched the U.S. Open based off the television ratings. Brooks Koepka is not somebody that's going to capture the imagination of those that are turning in to watch golf. Ricky Fowler was the story yesterday. Unfortunately, it was Ricky Fowler. And I think everybody likes Ricky Fowler. Who doesn't like Ricky Fowler? But when Ricky Fowler on a Sunday at a major fades and fades badly, that was a hard watch yesterday. And I didn't move. I went from the Diamondbacks game. Here's the thing. We did it at our house. All the family's over. Wives, sisters, wife, sisters, and family. And so we go from the Diamondbacks game over to golf. And I didn't move from about 2:15, other than I went out and grilled some stuff. And I don't know if you felt the same way as me, that, boy, this is just hard to watch Ricky Fowler melt down. And Brooks Koepka hit every shot, but Brooks Koepka is not going to capture the imagination of the sporting public. The ratings were not good at all. And Fox's coverage was dreadful. I don't know how hard it is to find a golf ball, but I do know that NBC, for some reason, manages to do it. If there's an event that's on the Golf Channel and CBS is showing it, somehow they can find a way to find the flight of a golf ball. When you're misidentifying who girlfriends and friends are, as they did yesterday afterwards, man, like, come on, guys, get your act together. I know you want to be cutting edge. And sometimes a guy doing that job, for me, I don't know about you, I'm just used to hearing Joe Buck do baseball. Joe Buck does the NFL with Troy Aikman, and he's fine, but I think Joe Buck at baseball is what I'd rather hear of all the sports that he does. And for some reason, these networks want to take a guy and just say, you're the only one that can do this. Nobody else can do all these gigs. So it's like when Mike Tirico was at ESPN, he was overexposed. You know, Joe Buck is doing his thing. Joe Buck should not be doing golf, in my opinion. So it was fine, but it wasn't the greatest Open. The coverage was not, left a lot to be desired. And for a major on a Father's Day afternoon, I didn't find myself, even though I sat there and watched the whole thing, I didn't find myself gravitating towards it. At some point, it's like, can Koepka just miss a putt here? And Fleetwood Mac can get a way to get into the lead here, but he couldn't. I kept calling him Fleetwood Mac. The baseball team, I know the Phillies stink. I don't care. We're going to talk about them a little bit later on while Paula with us, news and notes, as we do on every Monday. The baseball team now has this gargantuan series against the Rockies tomorrow night up in Denver. It's very, very fun to sit and watch a team find ways to come back and win. When they did it yesterday, you have Nick Ahmed at the plate trying to foul off pitch after pitch and just stay alive in the inning. And they force extra innings. And then the extra inning, you have Ray Fuentes, who 95% of you probably aren't aware of who Ray Fuentes is. It's not a shot at you. It's just Ray Fuentes is not the guy that you're thinking is going to come up and win a game. So, So yeah, he hits the home run, and then Archie's out there doing his thing, and then Fernando Rodney gets another save. So I think I didn't look at it this morning. Last I saw, the Diamondbacks were up 9 in the wild card. Jordy, is that right?
I'm going to confirm that.
Yeah. You got your camera in today, right?
I do.
Good. All right. You look good. We'll have Jordan there. Confirm that. I think that's where they're at now. So they're off today. They're 44-26. They're a game back of the Rockies. And here they are in a spot in the season where they've set it up. Greinke's throwing tomorrow night. And then you have Walker throwing the game after that. And I'm just wondering, with Mr. Kendrick, the owner of the team, living outside of Denver, if this is a point in time where Mr. Kendrick gets all the troops together on an off day, not the players, but the front office, and says, okay, let's go for it. What do we need to do here? What do we need to make in terms of a deal to make this team stronger? How do we go about strengthening this team? For all the stuff that's happened in the last few years with the team on the field where they weren't good, they weren't entertaining, that's completely flipped. All the stuff around the stadium up until a couple weeks ago, the stadium issue, that's been put on the back burner. Wherever I go, people want to know what time are they playing, or they're planning their day around the team, or every day they find their way to listen or watch at least a little bit of how the team is doing. They'll consume it on the Fox Sports Go app, or they'll listen to it on the radio, or they'll watch it on television. So from what I'm hearing, this has now become part of the deal. Do you have an answer on that one?
I do. The Diamondbacks and Dodgers are tied. Both are up 9 on the Cubs.
Okay, so one of those two won't make it, and it could be the Rockies. So one of those three, that's where the wild card's coming from.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be an epic collapse, Jordan, if we're sitting here on the 19th of June and a team was up 9 and they couldn't get into the postseason.
Well, it's one of those things also where these teams are going to be playing each other quite a bit. So when you have the top three teams maybe beating up on each other, they might come down to earth a little bit as well. So that could be something. And it's a long season. You know, the Rockies haven't been in this position in quite a while. The Diamondbacks haven't been in this
position. How many games have they played?
They have played...
Total. So it's ought to be like in the mid-70s now, right?
I think they're right at 70.
Right at 70. So they're almost to the halfway mark of the season.
Right.
Almost halfway through this. And they would have to have an epic collapse.
Right.
The Diamondbacks would. And when you have Greinke at the top, you're not going to have long stretches, even though he hasn't pitched as well lately.
Mm-hmm.
You do your rewinds off of you and Haley.
Yeah, we do our series in reviews.
Yeah, and has Greinke's numbers, have you checked into Greinke's numbers like the last 3 or 4 starts?
Yeah, I mean, they've inflated, and they're far from what they were a couple starts ago.
Sure.
But really, I think the streak stopper could be Robbie Ray in this. You know, when's the last time that...
Even though he wasn't great yesterday.
He threw 6 innings, gave up 4, but... A lot of people were disappointed in that. And when was the last time that the Diamondbacks had a pitcher where that's a decent start? That's not a bad start, but a lot of people were disappointed in that performance. So
were you?
It was surprising to see that he had given up a couple runs early.
Yeah, because they jumped out early on the Goldschmidt home run yesterday.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is it was surprise. It's like, oh, he is human. I forgot about that. And, you know, last one to maybe do that was Brandon Webb, Dan Heron. You know, it's been a while where they've had a guy like that that's been that dominant where he gives up a couple runs early and then everyone's going, wait.
Outside of Greinke.
Right. Is the sky falling? So.
Well, like Corbin on Friday night. So I'm watching Corbin early, and then I run out and do errands, and a friend of mine, he's a big Diamondback fan, has texted me, and he's just crushing Corbin. And I call Corbin the nibbler because that's all he does. He nibbles, 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 nibbles. And eventually, that's the spot when I mentioned Ken Kendrick getting the group together, the front office together. And I'm not saying that he is, but I'm just wondering. It would make perfect sense. Here they are, this big of a lead, coming into a huge series. I am certain that many of the front office executives are going to fly in to be a part of that. Why not get the group together and say, okay, what else do we need to do here? You know, we're at usually the measuring sticks of a baseball season are Memorial Day, the 4th of July, Labor Day. You know what you have by about Memorial Day. Okay, there's a good team. You know if you're going to compete by about the 4th of July. Looks very much like they're going to compete for the stretch. Unless they just completely fall apart. And then you get to Labor Day, and it's, okay, we're in this space now. Let's set everything up for our postseason run. Let's count every fifth day. Let's make sure that Greinke is throwing. Like, it's very smart. Greinke goes on leave for the birth of a child. They pull him out. They give him a bit of a mental break, too, because of that. And then they bring him back. And he wasn't great the other night, but you want Greinke on the front end tomorrow night in Colorado for this series opener. You got to at least win one of the, you can't get swept. If you win two of three, you're just thrilled to death. And obviously, if you sweep, that's terrific. But get the opening night, throw your ace out there as they're doing tomorrow night at Colorado. And then see where you are. You know, Taiwan Walker pitched well his last time out. All right, the NBA is, we're not surprised that Danny Ainge is the one. If you've been watching this show, we have been saying, keep an eye on Danny Ainge. Well, Danny Ainge over the weekend was the guy that said, let's shake things up and let's turn the draft upside down. We'll get into that next. Paula Bovin, Spencer Rattler, the top quarterback in the state, and probably in the nation here in a couple of years, is from Pinnacle High School. He's visiting a college campus today, and there's just a huge buzz about it. Later, Jordy's going to have a little bit on that. And much, much more as we roll on a Monday. You can check out our website, as always, at sports360az.com. Sports first. Sports360az.com. It's not that long. Our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, new episode tomorrow night. We'll have 14 airings this week. We appreciate the partnership with Fox Sports Arizona. And we appreciate our sponsors. Please support them. Without their help, we are not here. We are self-funded. It is all because of people that you're about to see. Stay with us. So this week is going to be a monumental week for the Phoenix Suns. After going out of their way last season to lose games intentionally, shutting down players and all that, and then coming up with the fourth pick in the draft, there was a lot of disappointment. We said the day after the draft took place to please keep an eye on Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge, when he was a player, was a widely... If Danny Ainge was not on your team, you didn't like Danny Ainge. If Danny Ainge was on your team, you just didn't care what Danny Ainge would do, what Danny Ainge would take care of. You just wouldn't care. Well, we said keep an eye on Danny Ainge with the number one overall pick because he could be the guy that's a wild card in all this. Now, so far, I don't know if it's that much of a wild card. Ainge trades down out of the first pick overall in the draft. Remember, this is the same guy that went to an owner who said, hey, look, I'll trade you Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. And the owner said at the time, go back and look at his quote, this is one of the greatest trades we've ever made. Well, yeah, sure it is. you're in jail now if you're Brooklyn. So the Celtics over the weekend trade out of number one. They trade down to number three. Brian Colangelo, Danny Ainge, two former Suns. Those of you that have been around for more than a few years, this has just got to tear your heart out. You're seeing these guys that we all watched, we all knew were very talented, we all knew they were very gifted, and something like this happens. Add to that, the fact that it's the Lakers that are still above the Suns, and the Lakers really control their own destiny, and now you have Paul George wanting out of Indiana and saying he'll consider going to Los Angeles. And then you have the Lakers trying to acquire yet another first-round pick. And so what does this all mean for the Suns? Is all this good now that the number one overall pick is Markelle Fultz? I don't think that really makes a difference. They weren't going to get him. The number two pick is the Lakers. The Lakers are going to take Josh Jackson. The Lakers are going to take Lonzo Ball. The number three pick is now the Celtics. Is Danny Ainge going to sit there and say, you know what? I win either way. I can go get Josh Jackson. I can go get Lonzo Ball. Whichever one of those two is left over, I'm fine. Then that leaves the Suns that are sitting there for De'Aaron Fox or someone like that or trading back. I cannot see. I mentioned Lauri Markkanen, who's going to be there. I like him a lot, but the Suns already put money into Bender. They already put money into Chris. Unless you're going to go make a major trade, which I think they do have the ability to do that. Last week on the show, I was arguing with Espo about Kevin Love. Kevin Love is going to be out there. The Cavaliers are going to turn that thing upside down. You bring Kevin Love here. You have an established veteran to go alongside of Devin Booker and your draft pick. All of a sudden, you have quite a bit that you can work with and feel good about moving forward. All that to say, the options as the week progresses, I think we're going to still have movement from what I'm hearing, what I'm reading, the people whose opinions I trust, those within the league, agents, that this is not going to be the end of it, that what we saw over the weekend with Boston is just the front end of things. Anthony Davis's name has come into play at New Orleans. There are teams that are going to try to position to get Anthony Davis out of New Orleans because they have a whole lot of flexibility. He's much younger. Is that the direction that Danny Ainge is trying to go? With the Lakers trying to get another first-round pick up high in this draft or go get Paul George? Does Paul George make me say, wow, boy, the Lakers are going to be on fire if they get him? He's a nice player. He's a nice player. I'd say he's a top 15 player in the league, in my humble opinion. I'm not going to call him a top three or top four player. There's certain guys that get all the run. Like Jimmy Butler and George are getting all the run. Could you imagine if a player like George said here in Phoenix, yeah, I'm leaving next year? That wouldn't go well at all. And for a small market like Indiana, the fact that he is making these declarations now clearly says we do not want to be here and we want out and we want to go to Los Angeles and we just want to get moved here in the next few weeks. We want to get moved, whether it's draft night, July 1st. We don't want to be back. And so there's going to be more moving parts. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Clippers get in on Paul George. The Clippers are going to turn things upside down with Jerry West coming in. And all this for the Suns means, guys, if you screw up this pick, you're going to be in jail for a few more years because the rest of the West is undergoing a major transformation. They just are. This was not a good bit of news to have Jerry West go to the Clippers. This is not good news if you're a Suns fan to see what the Lakers are going to do. Doesn't mean that they panic here in Phoenix, but they do have enough parts, I think, to go do something of substance rather than just taking De'Aaron Fox and saying, well, here we are, we're a step closer. That's not going to get it done. You know, it's not going to get it done. You have this piece in Bledsoe that you need to trade and not be afraid to do it. All right, on the other side of Paula Bova, news and notes, that's coming up. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. All right, welcome back. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There is plenty of content up on our website if you've not checked it out. Pro, college, high school, college, pro. It's a time of year where we're sitting here in mid-June and it's nice and relaxed. And we're getting things ready for the start of football season. We have a month to go. It's like 32 days away from the start of Cardinal training camp. And when that gets started, then everything gets off and running. ASU is opening camp earlier this year. And, of course, the high schools get started here in a few weeks. So for the next month, really, having the baseball team be relevant and having the basketball team be entertaining, I think those are the two main topics. There was one other thing that I didn't get into in the opening. That was Diana Taurasi. So Diana Taurasi became the all-time scoring leader in the WNBA after yesterday's game. And for Diana Taurasi to go out and perform like she has performed. Diana Taurasi setting the scoring record, and this is going to be me on my high horse here about the lack of interest in women's sports in our society. And a lot of that does fall on us wanting to make sure that we are chasing page views and clicks and impressions rather than doing the stories that need to be told. A lot of media companies did not blow this story up. They attach Kobe Bryant to it because Kobe Bryant, man, that's page views, that's impressions, that's clicks. If we just put Diana Taurasi's scores, there's a whole lot of so what from a bunch of people. And we may be upset with those people or those media outlets, but they're just merely chasing money rather than doing good stories and good content. That's me on my little high horse here. The Taurasi scoring record, let's just say it's Devin Booker that set the all-time NBA scoring record yesterday. Are you kidding me? This place would be going crazy. Instead, it's Taurasi, and there are people that are fired up and they're excited, but it is a much smaller piece of the pie because in our profession, we just don't blow it up enough. It's my little high horse. And now the professor, Paula Bovin, she joins us for her weekly segment. And I'm sure you would disagree with me and bang me over the head. Maybe you agree wholeheartedly. So let's just start there with Taurasi and what she accomplished yesterday.
Well, first of all, I'll join you on your high horse there. We can go riding off into the sunset together, Brad, because wow. Yeah, it's really disheartening for me to sort of see how this story has been treated. And listen, I get the whole clicks, right? The whole clickbait thing and what, you know, newspaper industry, other media enterprises are struggling. And so they're making decisions based on revenue. I get that. But I have long held that if you are enough of a talented enough journalist, you find ways to make important stories interesting. You know, it's not simply saying, she broke the scoring record, but you do a story that's interesting enough to appeal to the average fan. And with Diana, there's all kinds of material. She's fascinating. I mean, from her background to, I mean, talk about a total gym rat to, you know, going over and playing basketball in Russia and makes millions and treated like royalty there, to making what, you know, maybe a little over 100,000 in the WNBA. But there's all kinds of stories about her. And I think the journalists have the responsibility not to simply write about stories that may not get great clicks, but to find ways to make those stories interesting. And I think they can. So.
Well, I think that's why Kobe was attached to her story. But I'll give you an example, okay? I'm looking at AZ Central's homepage right now as we're sitting here the day after. And it's about the Celtics working out a number one trade on their sports page. Okay, their second story is Robbie Ray. Their third story is the NFL Top 100. So let's go to the Washington Post. Here's a national brand that is just killing it right now because of everything going on in our country. Their homepage has no mention of Diana Taurasi. If I go to their sports page, it's Paul George could reshape the NBA. It's Nats Marlins. It's Supreme Court rejecting trademarks. It's Markelle Fultz. I'm continuing to go down. A bear kills a 16-year-old runner who texted to say he was being chased during a trail run in Alaska. I can't make this stuff up. It's Baker Mayfield pleading guilty. If I go to their most read section, it's nothing to do with Diana Taurasi. So now if I go over to ESPN, and I'm just doing this on the fly, and ESPN's homepage has Baker Mayfield, and yeah, it's been a few hours, but you would think the all-time scoring leader, nobody, she's nowhere near their front page, front above the fold on their homepage. So here's three websites, one local, one national, and one international. Not one of them has her mentioned. So what exactly is that message? Because you and I agree that this is significant. Do we agree that if it's Devin Booker here in Phoenix today, it's front page stuff?
Of course it is. Of course it is. The message is layered, Brad. I mean, one is what I was mentioning about the issue with journalism and sports journalism today. The other thing is there still lacks a healthy respect for women's basketball. Now, we've seen when the WNBA came to town, the pejoratives that were attached to Mercury and their players and who wants to watch women's basketball. We have to re-educate the public that they need to stop comparing the men's and women's game on the same level because they are different. It doesn't mean it's worse. It means it's different. And too many people can't get that out of their head. You know, it's, of course, there are physical differences between men and women. But don't compare them at the same level. Compare them almost as two different sports. And I think if we can get this in the minds of people, it would make more sense. And this goes back to how we raise our children and making them understand how important women's sports are. And I think we're doing that now. But it's we're still in this very bumpy transition stage, and it's really frustrating.
Is 20 years enough of the NBA supplementing the WNBA? And you're talking to somebody who did the games. I was the first announcer for the WNBA because I believed in it. And yeah, the quality of basketball wasn't very good. It wasn't. Making layups was an adventure. There were some hard nights, but it was Cheryl Miller, and it was Nancy Lieberman, and it was Michelle Timms, and it was, you know, Jennifer Gillum, and it was players that we're at the forefront of it. We're bouncing around on airplanes. When I write the book, there'll be a chapter on the stories that we saw. Sure, there will be. But I guess the NBA has supplemented the WNBA for a long time. And Paul, after 20 years, is it just time to say this really is never going to break through in mass appeal?
No, it's not time if that means it's going to hurt the game and the ability of teams to stay around. Is it ideal to have the NBA have to do that? No, but if it's still a matter of importance to help the league survive, then we do what we have to do. This, you know, this is not a, it's not a journalism problem. It's a sort, it's a societal problem of our inability to sort of respect the women's game. I mean, it's, it goes back to how much women make versus men at the same jobs. It's the bigotry that women have faced, and, you know, things are getting better, but there's still issues out there. And it's about, as I talked about, sort of educating the children that we're raising about the importance of this stuff. So I think we just have to do whatever we have to do to keep this league afloat until we get things figured out in society as a whole. And I know that may be a while.
Yeah, and one last thought on this. I do think it is on us. I do. You know, when Megyn Kelly opens up her first show with a guy who says it was a bunch of actors and actresses disguised as kids at Sandy Hook, and thinks that is something that is going to get people to talk about. And I'm not politicizing this. It's just across the board in our industry, we become lazy. We become too reliant on one set of metrics, which is clicks and page views, to determine whether or not we should even go do a story and do it at great length. Because when you're told your story is only a success based off of the number of people that clicked on it, you're never going to go do the Diana Taurasi deep dive. You're just not.
Right.
And that falls on our industry. Our industry is as much a fault of a lot of this stuff because we're just doing the same stuff. I got to hit my page view number, my impression number. I'm going to make fun of LeBron James today. That's FS1's business model, very clearly.
Right. So
I think Taurasi falls into that. So I'm just very...
I mean, I agree. I think, as I mentioned, there's a responsibility, maybe the biggest among the editors and program directors and leaders in these media outlets to get the right message out there. And this sort of treading water that they're doing now isn't helping their cause, but they've got to be more responsible, and they've got to educate the people that are working under it.
Okay, so the Diamondbacks are tied with the Dodgers for the wild card today. They have a 9-game lead in the wild card today. So, and it's either going to be Colorado, the Dodgers, or the Diamondbacks that make the wild card the way that it's shaping up. I can't imagine them gassing away a 9-game lead. If you're Ken Kendrick, Paula, and they've got this big series in Colorado tomorrow, to me it only makes sense to have Ken pull all the troops, the Derricks and the Hazens and all those people, into his house in Vail today, tomorrow, and say, what do we need to do to push this thing over the top? You and I have talked about this every week. We're both surprised by this. I guess I'm wondering, when you watch the team, are you at a space where they've got to improve this, in your opinion? For me, it's when I watch Patrick Corbin pitch, it's hard. It's just a really hard watch. That's the spot for me.
Well, that was just the one I was going to mention, too. I mean, there's a lot of me that just, you don't want to touch anything, because they've got that sort of mojo we like to talk about. And sometimes change is bad no matter what the reason. I think that is sort of the area of concern, but I wouldn't tinker with much. There's something about this team. They're leading the league right now, right in comeback victories.
Right.
That's a hard thing to teach. That's a hard thing to coach. That's a lot about the sort of the chemistry and the clubhouse atmosphere and all that you're able to do it. So I don't tinker much, and I've been just hugely impressed with what this team is doing, and they're doing it without AJ Pollock. I mean, a lot of that success has come without him. So very interesting times, but I wouldn't feel the need to do much right now, because you hate to sort of disrupt this good vibe. And I know some people say their June schedule is suited for them, and when it comes August, watch out, but I don't think so. I think there's something special going on here.
Well, I think you can, you can say they play the Padres a ton. Yeah, I get it. But at the end of the day, they're not gassing away, blowing away games like they've done in the past, and like we've seen out of this team. And it's not only Pollock. Yasmani Tomas hasn't been around. And so if you're sitting there as Mike Hazen, it's, do I have enough options here to go get another? Let's just try to go find another frontline guy to put alongside of Greinke. Or do they believe that they have enough with Taijuan Walker? Do they, to your suggestion, we're sitting here on the 19th of June. Do you wait till July 20th and say, all right, we're 10 days away from the trade deadline, now let's go do it? I'm just curious as to what they're going to do moving forward, because they do have the opportunity here. They're fans that showed up in the last homestand. They got the Rockies here next week. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, I don't know what they're thinking in this. What I do like is that there's a bunch of guys from a very accomplished organization that has done and witnessed how this stuff gets done. And so more than I think in a long time, I feel like these decisions are in the right hands. And so sort of as a having a new perspective on this team, I'm willing to sort of sit back and see how they tinker. I don't feel this overwhelming urge to, you've got to fix this Corbin situation now. I feel like they're reading this team really well, for lack of a kind of X's and O's explanation. I think they just have the pulse of this team really well. And that, for me, is good enough.
All right, before you get out of here, we're not surprised Danny Ainge shook up the draft, right?
Not at all. I would expect nothing less, Brad.
Yeah. What do you want to see the Suns do it for?
I want things to work well. You know, now there's rumors, and I don't know how true this is. I think I heard it on ESPN that they're trying to move up. You know what I want, Brad. I want them to draft Lonzo Ball, and I want them to figure out a way to do it.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. And I think they have – look, they've got those two ones. They've got Eric Bledsoe sitting there. They've got a couple of young kids in Chris and Bender. Lonzo Ball, to me, is the only guy that can move the needle here in town. And I usually am not one of those people that says, well, you got to go draft somebody to get people excited and interested. Well, first of all, he can play. But second of all, he is the only one. If they draft Josh Jackson, it's fine. It's fine.
Right.
You draft Lonzo Ball, and all of a sudden, they're more popular than even the football team if the football team gets off to a rough start. That's just how it is in this town.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's very true. It's I've not waited for a draft with as much sort of voyeurism and excitement as this one. There's so many possible scenarios, and for the Suns to have such a high pick makes it interesting. So.
All right, I'll let you go off
looking
that.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
All right, Brad. Good talking to you.
You too. See ya. It's Paula Bovin, News Notes. The Professor. There's a big story going on the prep platform today. Spencer Rattler's a name. We've done a documentary on him. He's been featured across the country. The kid is only going into his junior year. And yet today he's on the campus of a school in the Midwest. And it's a huge buzz because the kid is from right here in our own backyard at Pinnacle High School and is the best quarterback prospect I've seen in a long, long time. And he's visiting today. We'll talk about that next with Jordan. He's all over it. That's after this timeout. All right. On this Monday, no baseball tonight. Diamondbacks are off until tomorrow. And you have the NBA draft on Thursday. So there's going to be a lot around the Suns this week. There'll be a ton around the Diamondbacks this week. And we very much look forward to that. The Coyotes over the weekend traded Mike Smith to barely a blip. Most fans liked that deal that I spoke to that felt like this was something that needed to happen. So that's going on. There is a big buzz today on social media over on Twitter and on Instagram about Spencer Rattler. If you've not seen Spencer Rattler, you will want to get out to watch him at some point play a high school football game and then eventually a college game and eventually in the NFL. There's certain guys, and I don't sit here very often and throw that around. I don't think that's very responsible to do. But in watching Spencer Rattler, the only way, the last time I saw a guy like this was Brett Hundley, and you just knew he was going to go to the NFL. It was pretty obvious. The only way Spencer Rattler doesn't make it to the NFL if he gets hurt. That's it. There's no other way. Unless he decides to play basketball, because he's really good at basketball, too. So Jordan joins us now. And Jordan Hamm, of course, part of what Jordan does not only is the Rock and Refuel recruiting roundup and everything on the recruiting front. He also works for Scout.com on a national basis covering Stanford and Washington. You're still covering Washington State?
Nope, just Stanford now.
Just Stanford.
Yep.
Yeah, enough of the Cougs.
Yep.
Leach fired you.
Backed that one off, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. But on a national scale, you are dialed in and you're in pipelines and all that stuff. So Spencer Rattler decides last week, I saw where he went to USC.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you pick it up from there and what's going on with him?
Well, it's been a very busy week and summer for him. They've been doing a ton of the 7-on-7s. You see him on social media. Pinnacle's dominating all of those. And recruiting-wise, he's now going to Oklahoma. He's on a visit right now. And the Oklahoma fan base is very excited about this. This is one of the first kind of visit weekends for Lincoln Riley as the new
head
coach.
Yeah.
So he's there. I know there's an elite 2019 tight end there as well. Plenty of big targets coming in, but it seems like Rattler seems to be the headliner.
Okay, so 2019. Mm-hmm. Do you have any of that social media stuff or no?
Yeah.
No,
yeah, so this is his Twitter timeline right now. We'll start with headed to Norman for an unofficial tomorrow, hashtag Boomer Sooner. Plenty of retweets here, a nice little ad. And then the graphics have started to come out. And, yeah, just lots of people, a lot of attention about this pinnacle quarterback coming in. Here's Lincoln Riley doing the little GPS and the side eye. You know, can't directly reference any of these recruits coming in, but and then we start to get a lot of the
what's the snake?
The Spencer Rattler. It's a Rattler.
Got so it. So that's is that his deal?
Not so much his deal, but Oklahoma has definitely caught on. Whenever there's a big play that I'm covering one of their games, usually I'll throw in a little snake emoji. But this one is wrapped around the national championship trophy and things like that. So a lot of buzz out in Norman with Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma.
Okay, so what else do we know about visits for him? He unofficially went to USC last week.
Yeah, yeah. And in terms of, you know, I don't know if he has anything planned quite yet. It seems like he's been well-traveled. When I talk to a lot of these recruits, it seems like these can come up pretty quickly where okay. It's, you know, it kind of, yeah, just a kind of a quick progression and that sort of thing.
So where he is right now, he's a 2019 quarterback. Mm-hmm. There's no one else in the 2019 class at quarterback that's going to get as much. And I shouldn't say that because a year ago, Tyler Shuck was not on anybody's radar.
Right.
Even out in Chandler, now he's turned out to be the top quarterback in this class to some people's views.
Right, right.
But if we're talking quarterbacks in the next couple of years, it's Spencer, Jack Miller, who's over at Chaparral, just going into a sophomore year. And is that it, or am I missing somebody?
I would say those are the two front runners. I would say that those will be, when it's all said and done, those will be two of the most recruited players in the state of Arizona.
Yeah. Guys, if you've not been out to a high school game to watch these players, it's really something else compared to when, if you're a 30-year-old, it's been 12 years. It's amazing how good these guys, if you're a 40-year-old, 50, 60, whatever, if you've not seen this kid put up on his Twitter timeline dunking a basketball mm-hmm. flat-footed last week.
He is a crazy good athlete.
Oh.
And the thing that impresses me the most when he's on the football field, and this was when he was a freshman, is his poise. He can take on a blitz, and he's a slippery player, can get out of there, but he never looks rattled, for pardon the pun.
Wow, that was a bad rattle.
That was not intentional.
That was bad.
Brad, please don't fire me.
Dreadful. So there you go. All right. And, you've got the Rock and Refuel recruiting roundup with Jason. You have anything big you're working on this week on that?
We will have a certain quarterback commit in studio for this week.
So that's either Shuck or Plummer.
I will leave it at that.
You'll leave it at one of those two.
Yeah.
All right. So that's in studio. Good stuff. Jordan, of course, does the Rock and Refuel recruiting roundup. He's the face and voice of it along with Jason Jewell every week. We do that as part of our platforms, our many platforms. It also airs on our television show over on Fox Sports Arizona. Our chairman of the board today has been Jared Nielsen. Always a solid job. Chairman of the board there day in and day out. The Iron Man, as we like to say. And Jordan for Eric, Eric Sorensen, and Haley Stasiak, part of our crew as well. Enjoy your day. We'll see you tomorrow.